This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food. Today's show once again takes a different format. I'm here at Taste of the Grove, part of the Avocado and Margarita Festival hosted by the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. It's an intimate cocktail evening hosted at a Morro Bay avocado farm. I'm about to share with you my enjoyment of farm-to-table pairing with area farmers and local chefs who are presenting tantalizing avocado-themed dishes. During this ultimate evening out, the culinary delights are provided by incredible local chefs, restaurants, and experts in their field. So, let's begin. First, let's find out what an avocado is. Periodically during today's show, you'll hear from four avocado growers.
Yeah, I'm Frank Alegria. I work for Colava Growers. Live down in Refugio Canyon near Goleta and have a 30-acre avocado grove there.
I'm Bradley Miles. I'm a Carpinteria grower and I'm on the California Avocado Commission.
I'm Dave Hendrickson. I'm a local grower here in Morro Bay.
Isn't it too cold in Morro Bay to grow avocados?
We're 2 miles from the ocean and we have a temperate climate. No, it's not too cold.
Oh, and who are you?
I'm Bill Coy. I'm an avocado grower in Cayucas.
Bill has been on the Avocado Festival Committee. He's also been on the Avocado Commission. He's been around here a long time.
Just in general speaking, what is an avocado? I mean, because people call it green lard.
Greatest fruit in the world.
It has a seed. It is a fruit, yes.
Okay. And do some people kind of mix it up, confuse it with a vegetable like they do tomatoes?
Yes. You know, some people ask, well, which is it? But, you know, when we explain that it is a fruit, even though it has, it's an oily fruit, and it has lots of vitamins and minerals that you don't get in fruits, it's different.
Where does it come from originally? Where is it native to?
Central America and southern Mexico.
The variety that sells the best is a Guatemalan variety. It's a Hass variety, H-A-S-S, and 90% of the avocados, 95% of the avocados sold around right now, at least in America, are Hass avocados. And it started in Burbank? Where did it start?
And it was in La Habra Heights. A guy named
was where the original Hass avocado tree was.
He patented it, but the patent ran out, but it became a good fruit because compared to the green avocados, because it had a tougher skin to it and shipped well, and it had a consistent flavor.
Just to clarify up front, the California Avocado website makes it very clear. The correct spelling is H-A-S-S. The word Hass rhymes with class, and it is often mistaken to rhyme with Hass or Haas. And furthermore, all Hass avocados, no matter where they are grown in the world, can trace their roots to the original Hass avocado tree that Rudy Hass planted in the mid-1920s in his grove in La Habra Heights, California. Sadly, the original tree had to be cut down in 2002.
The two main varieties are Hass and Lambs. Lambs are another variety that's a little bit bigger, tastes similar to Hass, but not quite the same. There are a few old varieties that we have around, and Reed's is probably the best one. There's Gwen's and Pinkerton's and Fuertes and Bacon's and a lot of other varieties that we've been growing here. Zutanos, yes.
I started grafting trees when I was 12 back in the 50s, and Rincon's, Fuertes, Anaheim's.
Worldwide, I think there's over 400 different varieties of avocados.
Yeah, like in France, 60% of it is Hass avocados that are public consumes, and the other 40% are green skin. And like in the Caribbean, they want green skin avocados. They don't want the Hass.
So I was in Peru for 2.5 months back in 2003, and a small avocado was the size of a softball, and a large avocado was the size of a rugby ball. Why don't we have those here?
Well, they're a Caribbean type, and they probably came from Brazil. Brazil grows a lot of green skins like that. They're more watery. They're used more in cooking and desserts, and not used as much as the way the Hass avocados are used here.
On that note, let's find out just how flexible the avocado is. We start with a candid, unscripted, documentary-style introduction to the festival via the DIY Nacho Bar, where I was greeted as sort of a celebrity, and I always like that.
Wow, this is build our own nachos.
You're the Episcopalian priest.
I am.
What a delight.
Yes, please.
On top?
On top, yeah, why not? Why not?
Templeton Hills beef.
Templeton Hills beef. You have to have some avocado since it's an avocado festival.
Yes.
Wouldn't be an avocado festival without it.
Two kinds of cheese, tomatoes, onions, cilantro. Please feel free to take one of those. It actually comes with the onions and the tomatoes.
Oh gosh, there's more stuff.
Hi. I'm serving a spicy cucumber jalapeno margarita. Polish off round one.
Cucumber and jalapeno.
Yeah. So I'm from Yes Cocktail Company. We make all natural ingredient mixers. So you just mix your favorite alcohol in there and you got yourself a fancy cocktail.
Really cool. Oh, so this is just the mixer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it's got alcohol in it.
Oh, wow. What?
Tequila.
Because it's a margarita festival. Great, thank you.
Excuse me.
Let's move on into the main area of the festival and start with those whose offerings were avocado forward.
I'm Jennifer Cunham. We're coming from Artisan Restaurant in Paso.
And Jennifer, you have an avocado on a fork. Is that really something special to bring to a festival?
It's super special because we're highlighting the avocado by making sure you taste that, but then there's some really good flavors on there as well. So we have taken oysters out of Morro Bay. We have shucked them, smoked them, dried them, made them into our very own salt, and then we have put that over the avocado and topped it off with finger limes.
Wow. So are the finger limes the caviar limes the same things?
Absolutely. They're delicious.
And do you get those in Goleta?
We get those from Shanley Farms.
You may remember the caviar limes that were mentioned in my episode on Central Coast spirits utilized by American Star Vodka.
Okay, here we go. It's a slice of avocado with little caviar-looking stuff on it. Mmm. It's oceany, limey, and avocado-y. How did you come up with this idea?
Our chef, Chef Ben. We love working with Morro Bay, and we love oysters, and we really wanted to highlight the avocados. And finger limes, you can't really go wrong, so we thought it'd be a good combination.
Do you use a lot of avocados in your cooking?
A ton of avocados at the restaurant, absolutely. No, we definitely have dishes that highlight it, and then, of course, if guests want a side of avocado, we will, of course, accommodate them.
My name's Chef Jeff Wiesinger. I'm the chef owner of Jeffrey's Catering and Jeffrey's Catering at Barton's Kitchen Window. We're located behind the tasting room at Grey Wolf Cellars. I brought a house-made avocado aioli. We used local avocados with roasted poblanos, roasted onions, roasted garlic, and an avocado aioli with house-made bacon, local lettuce, local early girl tomatoes, and a toasted baguette. And we call it a Humboldt sandwich, house-made bacon, lettuce, tomato.
Clever.
We definitely knocked it out of the park when it comes to the flavors from the house-made bacon to the really awesome sauce.
Great. I'm going to taste it right in front of you. Are you nervous?
Not at all.
So when you're using the avocado, what qualities are you looking for quality avocado?
A quality avocado is perfectly ripe. It's hard to get them. The process, for instance, they brought me these avocados about 2 weeks ago, I guess they brought them. They should ripen in plenty of time, but with the 100-degree temperatures we had this past weekend, they ripened real, real quick. So I got them just in the nick of time where they were really, really rich, really creamy, plenty of flavor. But I decided to kick it up a little bit with the roasted poblanos, the roasted onions, turned that into a puree to make a really, really creamy, delicious sauce.
Can I taste the aioli on its own?
Yeah.
Let's go have a spoonful. So this is just the aioli, and it's made with avocados and...
roasted poblanos, roasted garlic, roasted red onion, little cayenne, little house seasoning, and a little bit of mayo.
Here we go. That's really nice. You can taste every single one of those flavors in there.
Yeah, very well balanced. The good flavors are always well balanced, and I think we hit it.
Chef Jeff said that he's looking for an avocado that's perfectly ripe. How do I know when an avocado is perfectly ripe? So I asked the growers.
How do I know when my avocado is ripe?
The house is dark in color, and it's got a soft feel to it.
Most people don't know is avocados do not ripen until after they've been picked. They do not ripen on the tree.
So when I get a hard avocado in the grocery store, that's not wrong?
Correct. If I picked one today, I could count on waiting 2 weeks before that avocado would be edible.
Put it in a paper bag with a banana, and the ethylene gas will help it ripen faster.
Okay, so I lived in England, and I just stopped buying avocados because obviously they weren't from there, and I'd get them and they'd be absolutely baseball rock hard, and I've tried everything. I tried the paper bag, I tried putting them in the fridge, and inevitably they would rot before they would ripen. What's going on there?
In England, you get a lot of imports from Chile and Peru, and the fruit is picked immature because they're so far away. So they're picked immature and they're off the tree 5 to 6 weeks. What happens is that when they're in refrigeration too long, sometimes they never ripen and they just spoil and they just go bad. Fresh fruit like we have here, this fruit that we're eating here tonight was harvested Thursday 2 weeks ago and was saved in refrigeration after it ripened. And it's excellent fruit.
Chile, very green fruit in a packing house. What they do is they project by the time it gets to the United States, it'll have the right oil content. So they picked it actually too early. Because if you don't have your right oil content and you pick, you got problems.
And now for a little more adventure, avocado and fruity stuff.
My name is Karen. I'm from Olea Farms in Templeton, California. We process and provide olive oil, all milled at our place and bottled. We are serving our avocado toast, and it's topped with our Tears of the Devil, which is our spicy oil, and a little bit of our sweet blackberry balsamic vinaigrette over the top. We actually mix the two, and you get a little heat and a little sweet. I think it highlights both, actually, but definitely the avocado. It gives the avocado a total different flavor, and it's like a little party in your mouth.
Mmm. It does actually highlight both the oil and the avocado. Who was the brilliant originator of this?
That is Clotilde Julien, right there.
This young lady here? So you're a miller. What makes you know anything about avocados?
I don't know much about avocados, but I can tell you I know a lot about olive oil.
Well, that's great. You created a great dish. Thank you. You know, avocados are something like 70% fat. Olive oil is 100% fat. So is there a problem with fat on fat?
It's good fat. The polyphenols in the olive oil are very good for your health. You have a lot of polyphenols in the avocado, and the avocados don't have extreme oil in them at this time of the year. They only have it around end of September, beginning of October.
They develop it on the trees?
Yes. So at a certain time of the year, they're just going to build more oil just because they have less heat. A little bit like the olives that build more oil towards the harvest season.
So it's kind of like bears. They store up their fat for the winter.
That's a good way to put it. I'll remember that one. Bears or whatever, whoever hibernates. Yes, it's the same idea. Yeah.
My name is Craig Clark. I am here featuring my blackberry balsamic vinegar that I make with all my organic blackberries. I've got all of my heirloom tomatoes that I grow along with my organic red onions and some avocado.
What makes you think that blackberry and avocados go together?
Well, you got to just try it. It works very well, believe it or not.
Okay, can I try it?
You sure can, most definitely.
What makes avocados and tomatoes go together?
It's what I do when I sit at the farmer's market and I'm hungry. I throw all this together, and this is what I eat when I'm at the farmer's market, and I figured if I liked it, other people would like it.
It's really nice. Combining avocado with blackberries was not the end of the avocado fruit combo. Time for the salad course.
Hi, I'm Michelle, and I work for Fig at Courtney's House, which is a nonprofit for special needs adults in Templeton. We cut up fresh avocados and mix it with a Peruvian banana aioli and some heirloom potatoes, just topped off with slightly roasted almonds on a butter leaf.
Banana aioli, that just kind of hit in my brain. Does that mean you're making mayonnaise with bananas?
You mix it with the bananas. You take a banana, we cut them real thin, put them on a pan with some olive oil and roast it until it's caramelized. And then afterwards, we mix it with a fresh-made egg white mayonnaise and thyme. And it's a Peruvian recipe, but it's really good.
Okay, does that mean this is going to be really sweet?
Not necessarily. We use a more of like a plantain banana.
Here we go. Wrap it up in a nice little package. Look away, because this isn't going to be pretty.
You can do it.
Mmm, banana, avocado. I can now taste the potato flavor.
How do you like it?
I like it. The banana thing is kind of weird, but in a good way.
Normally we use our banana aioli mixed with a pulled chicken, and it's on a salad or on a sandwich.
And you just thought, avocados, why not?
That's right. Also, we knew a lot of the vendors here today would be using meat dishes, and we wanted to offer something that was vegetarian and gluten-free.
You're right, there's a lot of meat here. On that note, on to the meat stuff.
Chef Matt Beckett with Lynn's in Cambria. Yeah, so we've got a masa sesame gluten-free cracker. We've got avocado from Lynn's Farm with lime and salt. We have cucumber shishito pepper relish from Lynn's Farm, blackened ahi tuna, sake syrup, some toasted sesame, and a little creme fraiche.
You're working away as we're doing that. When you heard that there was an avocado festival, where did your mind go first?
I go to kind of like a tartare tuna timbal that I do. So this was a play on that. We usually do tortilla chips with cucumber from the farm and avocado. So one of my favorite dishes. So
you use a lot of avocados.
Yeah, the avocado, the fattiness with the tuna and the tortilla, the masa flavor goes really well.
I'm Chef Catherine, and I'm with Catering by Chef Charlie, and we are having fresh goat tacos. We have fresh avocado on top of it, and then we made a wonderful avocado jalapeno salsa to spice it up for those who like it a little spicier.
Why do you think avocados go so well with Mexican food?
Because of the rich creaminess, and it always helps cool down anything spicy.
So do you use a lot of avocados in your catering?
Yes, we do. Like I said, the avocado jalapeno salsa is one of our favorites.
How do you know as a caterer that you have a good, or when you have a good avocado?
Usually, if we can pick them off the tree, it's the best. And then we let them ripen, of course, either in a brown bag or nice box in a cool place. And give it about a week, week and a half, depending on the avocado. We check them regularly.
Do you have your own avocado tree?
No, we have friends that do. And all the local farmers around here are wonderful. So we like to go out and help sometimes pick.
Thank you. I'm going to try. The line is really long, so I'm going to...
You right now, because, you know...
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
And would you like the jalapeno salsa on it,
course,
too?
Of course,
of course. Let me take your plate right here, and I'll get that one.
The works.
Okay, you got it. There you go.
Thank you. This is beautiful, Kate. And do I squeeze the lime on?
If you like a little extra acid on it, yes.
Okay.
But if not, you can just push it off and just eat the top of it.
It's very pretty. Are you burning some tortillas there?
No, okay. I'm not burning any tortillas.
What hit me first was the avocado salsa.
Yes, because it's nice and spicy.
And it tastes like avocado.
I put 8 to 10 avocados in it.
And then you get the little gaminess of the goat. This is wonderful and perfectly balanced.
And I don't like to say that because most people are afraid of gaminess. When they hear that, they're like, I kind of tend to... We were off on that, but it's very good.
You knew that I would live on the edge with food.
Most people do. I'm glad you enjoy.
Thank you so much.
Oh, anytime.
As you can imagine, I'm pretty full by now. Let's find out a little more from the growers. What are the growing conditions required for avocados?
We have the perfect growing conditions in this area. You can't grow them too much further north, but it requires a moderate subtropical climate. So you can grow them very nicely in areas between here and Paso Robles and in Morro Bay, but you can't grow them in the hot areas like Paso and Atascadero. The valley areas, it's too hot and it's too cold. So we have what's called a very temperate climate, and they grow outstanding. We're just real lucky here.
Over in the San Joaquin, they've grown sotanos and bacons and been somewhat successful, but there's not a big market for either one of those fruits.
So what is the avocado season?
We're the latest of growing season up here in our county in San Luis Obispo, but they start in San Diego County in April, even earlier than April, and it works north. That's how the growing season can be extended.
You have to realize that avocado mature from bud to mature fruit is what, 22 months, 23 months?
That's a long time for an avocado. So one crop a year. Correction, every 2 years, he said 22 months, not 12.
Yeah, you'll have two crops on the tree.
Crops on the year, on the tree is what he's saying. The trees will bloom and set fruit in April, and then we don't end up picking them until sometime September and October. So that's why they're on the fruit. Can be on the fruit for almost a full year, 2 years. There are a lot of places where the fruit sets in April and they pick in January. So San Diego area, they ripen a lot faster until you get more mature fruit.
Consumption. I went off in search of the consumer.
I love it. Yeah, it's a great event. It's a nice size. There's no long lines. There's plenty of food, plenty of drink. It's well, it looks like it's really well managed, and it's a beautiful evening out.
Why would you come to a festival about avocados?
Because avocados are super good for you and super versatile, and I love to see what other people are doing with them to get ideas to make them interesting every day of the week.
Do you have avocados every day of the week?
Pretty much, almost every day. Yep. I use them instead of butter for almost anything sandwich related. I've put them into my morning shakes with other local fruits. I haven't been too creative, so that's why I'm kind of hoping to get some inspiration here.
So Christina, you're here at the Taste of the Grove, and are you tasting the Grove?
I love it. I'm tasting everything.
Obviously you like avocados or you wouldn't have come. Why would you want to come where there's so many avocados?
Because I can't get enough of avocados.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do in the winter?
Don't eat avocados. I only eat food that's in season.
Very commendable.
And this event, I can eat all the avocados that I want right now.
What do you think is the best of the festival?
I've just started on my third booth, but the best is just the fresh food. They're all good. All the tomatoes and all the avocados.
Everyone was saying the same thing, praise of the avocado. And suddenly I heard a booming voice in the background. A demonstration of a unique way to use the avocado was going on about 10 feet away.
So now you have basically green masa. That's your avocado tamale right there. So now we're just gonna portion it in here. Just a little smear goes a long way. And then at this point you could either add ingredients like vegetables or avocado if you wanted to. So then we take it and then we'll fold it up like a little envelope. super simple to keep it all in there. If they're bigger, you can tie them. You can do like different kinds.
My name is Kyle. I'm from Artisan. I made an avocado tamale. So what I did was I whipped the avocado and used the avocado as the fat portion of the masa, which is the actual, I guess, tamale part of the tamale. We were just getting creative and we both love tamales and we decided to try it and it came out great. You can do whatever from that point. You can put cheese, you can put vegetables, meats, anything from that point, but we just decided that Avocado Festival, we should just keep it avocado.
I tried the green masa. It's sort of weird because I'm one of those people who doesn't like masa, polenta, and particularly grits, no matter how you dress them up. However, I am open to working with foodstuffs I'm not a fan of for the sake of the whole. This is a brilliant way to make tamales for vegetarians and vegans. The masa had been steamed previously and was cold. I could imagine it hot with cheese oozing out of it and maybe some of those organic tomatoes with organic red onions and blackberry balsamic vinegar that Chef Craig Clark has. I could even imagine the avocado masa filled with the ahi tuna for my pescatarian friends. This is by no means a bad concept. Now for my big test.
My name is Dustin Desjardins. I am the chef at San Antonio Winery in Paso Robles on Buena Vista.
You've got oysters. Why oysters and avocado?
Oysters because they are grown in the back bay of Morro Bay. And the avocados, of course, because it's Avocado Festival.
Is this a normal combination?
Avocados are very difficult to pair as far as a winery goes. Avocados with oysters and our San Simeon Sauvignon Blanc goes super well together.
When I'm drinking, or is the Sauvignon Blanc in the avocado puree?
No. It's just we paired it with a wine. This is just a grassy bar oyster with a little avocado puree with wasabi, some cocktail sauce, and we also have some fingerling limes from Shanley Farms, which is also a local Morro Bay company. And that's it.
Okay, I'm not an oyster fan, but I'm going to give it a try. If you're at a festival,
you got to do it.
You got to do it. Thank you very much. Okay, I don't particularly like oysters, but here goes. I think the local, the fresh, the avocado, the lime, and the spice make it really go together. And now I'm going to take a sip of the Sauvignon Blanc.
I'm Kelsey. I'm the guest services manager at San Antonio Winery.
And why does this go together?
The Sauvignon Blanc is going to be really fresh, really crisp, has a little bit of lime on it, so it pairs perfectly with the lime that's on the avocado and the crispness of the avocado as well.
It's really nice.
Like it?
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Every couple of years, I try foods I don't like just to see if my palate has changed. I've eaten about 4 oysters in the last 18 months since I moved back to California, having not had one for about a decade. My palate hasn't changed, but I think I found an oyster I like. The last oyster I had back in May was fine because it was smothered in a spicy sauce. This smaller oyster was pleasant. I could taste the chili and the avocado and the oyster. This is going to compel me to seek out an oyster that I enjoy. The wine pairing with it was superb. I think my next dinner party just got more expensive. Now, believe it or not, it's time for dessert. First, I tried a tart with avocado lemon mousse from Buttercup Bakery in Morro Bay. It was as delicious as any tart, and it showed that avocados are very versatile, but the centerpiece of the festival came next.
My name's Robert Fiddler. I'm a line cook at the Inn at Morro Bay.
What is staring at me with a spoon?
It's a jalapeno avocado ice cream. Although there is no cream, it's more like a sorbet. The whipped cream has a little bit of lime in it. That's the touch for that. And the chocolate sauce has cayenne, cumin, a little bit of cinnamon. You know, we went with a little Southwest. This is actually my kitchen manager's recipe. Yeah, we thought it was a really good idea this year. She came up with this, and people seem to really, really like it.
I mean, what has been some reactions when people have just read that it's avocado ice cream?
Yeah, they think it's strange. And then we get a lot, is it cream, really? You know, and and there's also tequila in it, I need to mention. Yep, it's a tequila avocado ice cream. That's right. I said jalapeno. The jalapeno is a little more for the sauce. That's what I meant. But there's quite a bit of alcohol actually in the avocado as well. So
it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, it helps it. You know, it helps the sorbet process as well. So, you know, we hit that.
21 and older only.
Yeah, 21 and older. Yeah. It seems like we have enough of those here today.
Let me give it a try.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to do it all in one bite. Am I going to get brain freeze?
No.
Okay. It's really nice because all of those flavors are in there. It's not like frozen avocado. And what prevents it from just tasting like frozen avocado?
To be honest with you, I know this sounds terrible, but it is the manager's recipe. They make it more like a sorbet rather than an ice cream.
Dawn, Fiddler, everybody's excited and keeps coming back because all the people keep saying, oh, I've tried this. Yeah, please, let me have some more. We've had 3 or 4 customers come back and eat it again. Easy peasy. It's 3 avocados, a little bit of water, a little sugar and salt, and voila, you have ice cream.
And alcohol.
Tequila, yeah. And the tequila.
Who knew you could make a full meal out of avocados, including dessert? The Brazilians know. Avocado popsicles are popular there, as are many avocado desserts. It's kind of like what I experienced in Britain about the pumpkin. There, the pumpkin is used primarily to feed horses, and if you cook with it, you use it to make pumpkin soup or roasted pumpkin risotto or some other fall-oriented dish. So when I would bring out the pumpkin pie at my Thanksgiving dinner parties, the faces of the guests around the table looked as if I was serving them the chilled monkey brains from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. This festival is such a fun and tasty way to spend a Friday evening in September. This is actually my 2nd year at Taste of the Grove. If you remember my chocolate episode, that very first show of mine, I featured avocado chocolate mousse. That was tasted right here at Taste of the Grove 1 year ago. And as with every festival, we get some swag. We were given a nice laptop-shaped tote bag this year. Last year, it was a small canvas shoulder bag.
Does it have an avocado in it?
I don't believe it does.
Because last
but
year,
you can look around because there's
last
quite a few
year,
trees.
It was 6 months before I realized there was an avocado.
Oh, we had avocado. 6 months.
The bag was just over a chair, and I knew there was kind of like promotional stuff in there, and I'm like, oh, like whatever, and I thought, oh, this would be the perfect size for what I need today, and so I started pulling everything out, and I reached in there, and it was half petrified and half rotten.
And it was. Surprised you didn't have 20 million fruit flies.
Before I leave Taste of the Grove, here are a few words from the organizer.
My name is Erica Crawford, and I'm the CEO and president of the Moro Bay Chamber of Commerce. The Avocado Festival has been happening for 11 years, but this Taste of the Grove was us trying to bring the avocado back into the consciousness of people who have been attending the festival, and really to some of our locals and people who would travel for a culinary experience. 11 years ago, it was a couple of growers, Bill Coy being one of them, Frank Alegria from Calavo being the other, who walked into the chamber office, and the chamber office people were planning an avocado festival, and the growers wanted to do an avocado festival, and so it just kind of was a natural fit.
For Taste of the Grove in its 2nd year, do you think it's a success?
Yeah, I mean, I think like any new business, we're going to give it 3 years. I think that's a great rule of thumb to prove yourself to yourself and to make sure that it's a viable concept. And it'd be great if this went on for 11 years like the Avocado Margarita Festival or has so far. But it's a beautiful night. You know, it just feels like you're in someone's backyard. It's very mellow. It's very enjoyable. It's very delicious. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's an absolute success. We hope it continues to live. I love that festival.
And it was sold out tonight?
Yep, it was sold out. That's a tough one, right? I love everybody. I loved Buttercup Bakery's the tart with that perfectly whipped avocado. Everything was creatively done and uniquely attempted, you know, and that avocado ice cream was amazing from the Inn at Moro Bay. You know, it was fun to taste everything. Everybody who participates is just willing to try something new, and they're working with locally sourced avocados. So all of the avocados you tasted tonight were from a ranch that's 2 miles away from the venue.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas on KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian Dellinger here at the Moro Bay Chamber of Commerce Taste of the Grove Avocado and Margarita Festival, and I'm playing with food.